Today's shiur is Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Vov. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the top of Daf Vov in Maseches Sanhedrin opens up with a quote from a halacha mentioned earlier, namely, Shitas Rebbe Avo, with regard to two judges who judge a case of Dine Momenis. Gufa, Omar Rebbe Avo, Shnaim Shedonu, Dine Momenis. The Gemara, on the fourth line from the top. Two judges who ruled in a case of Dine Momenis. L'divrei HaKol Ein Dine Emdin. According to all opinions, claims Rebbe Avo, their ruling is not binding. The Gemara asks from a Tanaic source a question, Esvei Rebbe Abel or Rebbe Avo. You can see this is a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it's in a frame. Don es hadin. The grammar here indicates that we're dealing with a single individual, a judge who judges, v'ziko es hachayav, and he exonerated the one who's really guilty, v'chiev es hazakai, and he found guilty the one who is innocent, or another kind of mess up, time es hator, tiher es hatome, or in the cases of ritual impurity, he was metame, that which is tor, he found to be unclean or impure, that which really was pure, and the opposite. Ma she'osa osui, u'meshalei mibeso. His ruling sticks, but as far as the loss that was inflicted on someone wrongfully, the judge will pay out of his own pocket. What do we see from here, though? We see that Masha'osa Otsui, the judgment of a singular judge, is binding. When Rebbe Avo said that less than three is not binding. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskino, Rebbe Avo will tell you that this Tanaic source is talking about the following circumstance. The Kiblu Alayu, the litigants accepted the judgment of the individual. In other words, when judgment is imposed upon the public, only three can do that. If, however, the litigants accept upon themselves the ruling of less than three, that is binding. Ihachi, amai mishalei mibeso. If it is so that the litigants accepted the judgment of this single judge upon themselves, why, if he errs, does he have to pay out of his pocket? The Gemara answers, di omru lei. The litigants instructed this individual judge, Dainis Lon Din Torah, we want you to rule for us a ruling that conforms to the Torah. And therefore, if he made a mistake, his ruling is not that which conforms to the Torah, and therefore he has to pay out of his pocket. You may ask, so why is what he said binding, if in fact he did not rule according to what they requested him to do? The Gemara will explain that a little bit later. Omar le Rav Safra le Rabbi Abba. Dito b'mai. This source indicated a judge made a mistake, and yet what he says is binding. What was the nature of his mistake? Notice we have a double underline. This is one of our series markings. In this case, we have an explanation on the outside margin under the heading Mivneh, the double underline. These are Shlavim, stages, but Birur HaShela, in order to clarify the question of Dito B'mai, what was the nature of the mistake? Before this, we have an introductory note that we should have read a little earlier, but never too late. These introductory notes are also very valuable review tools. The Nosei, Kiblu Alayu Lodun Din Torah V'ta. Litigants had accepted upon themselves someone, an individual or two judges, to rule for them according to the Torah, v'ta'a, and he made a mistake. So in our introductory note, we feature what the Gemara will be mentioning very shortly. Bidvar Mishnah, if his mistake was against an open source, a Dvar Mishnah, something that's stated black on white one way, and he ruled another way, Choser, then the judgment would be reversed. It wouldn't stick. B'shikul Hadas, if his error was in terms of Shikul Hadas, which the Gemara will define momentarily, Mishalim Ibesu, then he has to pay out of his own pocket. So the Gemara now will present these points. The Gemara had asked, what was the nature of his mistake? Stage 1, E Lemo, the Tov B'dvar Mishnah, if you think that his mistake was one of countering an open source, V'ho Omar Rav Sheshes, Omar Rav Asi, Tov B'dvar Mishnah, Choser. If a person makes a mistake, if a judge makes a mistake in something that is stated clearly in a Mishnah, then the case is reversed. He doesn't have to pay out of his pocket. Elo, stage 2 in clarifying this question, Dita b'shikul hadas, his error was in the realm known as shikul hadas. Hechi domi b'shikul hadas. What does that mean? Define that. The Gemara now answers, and you can see the answer will last a few lines, as indicated by our long marking in the space between the Rashi and the Gemara. Omar Rav Popo, kigoin tre tanoi utre amoroi de pligi adodi. Shikul hadas involves a case where you have a controversy between two tanoim or two amoroim that are arguing one on the other. Velo itmar hilchasolo kemar velo kemar, and the Gemara does not rule a final ruling neither like this one nor like that one. The sugyon de almo aliba de chadminau. However, the path of the world, the nature of the world, the population usually follows one opinion. Popular practice is like one opinion. The ozal ihu v'avad kidoch, and this judge ruled like the non-popularly accepted opinion. That's called an error. Hainu shikul hadas. That's called an error in shikul hadas. Under such circumstances, therefore, we say that since his ruling is based on an authority, though it's not a popularly accepted authority, nevertheless, his ruling stands. It's certainly not a tois bidvar mishnah. After all, he has an authority to base himself on. However, he does have to pay out of his pocket because his ruling was not like the generally accepted practice. At this point in the Gemara, we encounter another geometric form. All geometric forms in the marking system have the same basic role, and that is to denote some kind of series or repeating phenomenon. The introduction to this, or the structural note, is found in the outside margin, the Mivneh. Notice this volcano form is featured. Shlavim, these are, again, stages. Benisoyon lahamid dinoi shel Shmuel kemachlikas tanoim. An attempt to say that the din of Shmuel. Shmuel said that Shnayim Shadonu Dinehem Din, Elo Shenikro, Nikroim Bezn Chotzuf. Shmuel rules that two who judge, their judgment is binding, unlike Rabbi Avo, who said that two who judge, their judgment is not binding at all. So we're going to have stages in the Gemara to determine maybe the din of Shmuel is a machlokas tanoim. And then finally, the Gemara will rebut that or refute that attempt. Lemo ketanoi, the Gemara suggests, can we say that the controversy between Shmuel and Rabbi Avo is a machlokas tanoim? As follows, as you can see in the following framed source, it says, Bitsua b'shloisha de Rabbi Meir. Bitsua means pshara, compromise. Compromise is conducted by three judges. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachomim omrim pshara b'yochid. And the Chachamim say that compromise can be orchestrated by a singular judge. Savruha l'kulei almo makshinon pshara ledin. Savruha is an expression that most often in the Shas indicates an attempt, but will be refuted. So at this point, we want to make an assumption. Savruha, let us make the following assumption, that according to all authorities, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim, Makshinon, we compare Pshara Ladin, that whatever standards applies to establishing compromise, so similar standards would apply to actual judgment. My lav behalka miflagi. So what must be the point of controversy between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? The Mor Sofar Din B'Shlosha, Rabbi Meir, who said that pshara, that compromise is accomplished through three, so too Din is with three and no less. That's like Rabbi Avo. The Umor Sofar, the Chachamim would hold Din B'Shnayim. In other words, less than three. Just like we see the Chachamim said pshara B'Yachid, that compromise can be established through an individual judge, not needing three. That would be like Shmuel. Loi. Dekulei Alma din b'shlosha. At this stage, this is the second stage in our discussion concerning the possibility of Shmuel being the subject of a machlokes tanoim. At this point, the Gemara says, no, Shmuel has no Tana here, namely not Rabbi Meir, nor the Chachamim to base himself on. Because these opinions, these Tanaic authorities, Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, all agree that Din is B'Shlosha. You need three judges. B'Hacha, B'Ha, Komiflagi. The point of controversy in the source that we learned concerning compromise is on the following terms. D'mor Sovar, Makshinom Shor L'Din. Rabbi Meir will hold that we compare compromise to actual ruling, that's to actual din. And just like din requires three, so too pshara, compromise, will require three judges officiating. Umor Sovar, the Chachamim hold lo, Makshinon Pshara L'Din. We do not compare pshara L'Din, and therefore, even though din requires three judges to rule upon, to officiate, when it comes to pshara, it's sufficient to have even one. The Gemara continues in the subject of concerning the topic of kama dayonim lipshara. That's what we've noted in our outside margin. How many judges are needed for pshara? Well, we've seen a couple opinions already. The Gemara now wants to raise the following question. Maybe we should suggest that there are three shitas, three opinions in Tanoim regarding the number of judges required for Pshara. The Mor Sovar B'Shlosha, Rabbi Meir, we saw already to say three. Umor Sovar B'Shnayim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Well, you might be surprised we didn't hear his name today. If you note, we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating, look at Hey Omid Beis. So scan down Hey Omid Beis, if you have it in front of you. You will notice to the lower part of the page, Reb Shimon Gamliel's name appears. There is an arrow in that same spot, in the same space, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And you'll find that at the lower part of the page with a Vav Omid Aleph indicator next to it, under it. And there, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Pshara B'Shnayim. So, we will record Reb Shimon Gamliel as a second opinion regarding the number of judges for compromise. He would say two. And continuing in our Gemara here on Vav Amar Aleph, Umor Sovar V'Yochid, and the Rabbanan would say one judge is enough. So the question is, are there really three opinions on this matter? Omar Avacha Breidu Avika V'Itemor Av Yemar Bar Shalmiya. Man de Omar Tre Afilu Chad Nami. He who said two, namely Reb Shimon Gamliel, would agree that one would be sufficient as well. And the reason for that is because we do not compare pshara to din. Din may require three, but pshara does not. The high de Omar Tre, that which Reb Shimon Gamliel said, let's have two judges officiating the compromise. The reason for that is ki hechi delehevu ole sahadi, so that you'll have built-in witnesses to the fact that a compromise was struck between the two litigants. For witnessing, you need two witnesses, and hence he recommended having two judges present during the establishment of a compromise. The Gemara now will ask, does pshara, in other words, you have two litigants that agree on some type of compromise solution, in order to lock in the compromise, to make it binding, do they require a kinyan? Amar Rav Ashi,
Shma mino pshora eino tzricha kinyan. We can conclude from our discussion that pshora does not require kinyan. The e sata daitach tzricha kinyan. If it were so that pshora, that compromise solutions require a kinyan to make it binding, l'man d'omer tzricha tlosa l'mali. According to the opinion that said you need to have three judges officiating over compromise, why do you need three? Tizki betray velikni mine. Have two judges and a kinyan. That would suffice to make it binding. So it must be, therefore, that pshara, in order to establish pshara, you don't have to have the kinyan, and the presence of three is sufficient. As the Rashi says a few lines from the bottom, you'll notice where it's dashed, underlined, lahachi bo'ina tzlosa. For this reason, we require three, liapois koyach beisdin, to increase the strength of the beisdin, to serve as official court strength, tiafagav de lo konumine lo nehadru, that even though no kinyan was done, there is no backing out. Yet the Gemara has a surprising halachic conclusion, and that is v'hilchasa pshora tzricha kinyan. And the Gemara rules that even if it's done in the presence of three, as Rashi points out, even so, in order to fix the pshara, to make the compromise solution binding, they have to make a kinyan as well. Tanu Rabbanan. At this point, the Gemara begins a Tanaic source that you'll notice is very, very long. It lasts almost all of Vav Amud Beis. The theme of the source, or one of the main subjects of the source, is going to be the issue of compromise. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishem Shadin B'Shlosha, Kach Bitzua B'Shlosha. Just like regular legal rulings require three, so too compromise requires three. We've seen this opinion before in the name of Rabbi Meir. Nigmar Hadin, once the end of the legal session or process is reached, I ato rashoi livtsoa, then it's no longer allowed to enter compromise. What is Nigmar Din? What defines Nigmar Hadin? Rashi gives an explanation which is based on the Gemara later on. The Gemara at the very bottom of the page will ask, Hechidomi Gemar Din. What constitutes Gemar Din? Rav Yudah Marav, there, three lines from the bottom, says, Ish ploniato, chayav ish ploniato zakai. When the judges rule, you so-and-so are guilty and you so-and-so are innocent. Rashi mentions that at the very top as well. So when Gemar Din is achieved, when the judges issue their ruling, as we just explained, then pshara is not allowed. In the brackets, we have a simen, which is a reference to the names that will be appearing in the sugya. This brisa has a lot of activity in it, as far as markings and issues that come up. A lot of details are characteristic of this particular brisa. We have tried to employ the marvelous marking system to make things a little bit easier. The markings that start on this Amud will continue onto Zion Amud Aleph as well. We should take note of the introductory comment that exists on the outside margin of our daf. And we've written in the diamond that you will see here are deois be'im rotsui la'asois pshara bedin. Opinions regarding the topic of is it desirable to enter into compromise. In addition to that, we're going to see a bow tie marking. And the bow tie marking is accompanied by a similar marking running down the left-hand side of the Gemara text, numbered 1, 2, 3, etc. Mispur HaPirushim al HaPosuk. The word Ne'emar we have in parentheses here because that's the word that's featured in the mark in the bow tie form as you go down the Omid. Each time you'll notice the word Ne'emar followed by the Posuk Botzea Beirech Ni'etz Hashem. These are different Pirushim explanations regarding that Posuk. It's noteworthy that the same marking is going to appear on Daf Zayin Omid Aleph as well. That would be the part of the discussion in the next shiur. In addition to that, as we go down the Omid, we won't see this immediately, but there's a little house form with a numbering system that accompanies it. These are attempts to number off the Pirushim on a Pusuk that we'll see later, Mishpat Utsdaka. There are more markings to take note of, but we'll wait till we get to them later. The Gemara, the Tanaic source continues from the second line from the top, Rabbi Elazar Beno Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer. And we should have noted as well that the double underline is used as part, together with the diamonds here, to highlight the names of the Tanoim that expressed their opinion regarding the desirability of Pshara. So Rabbi Elazar Beno Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Osur Livtsoa. That means that when two people come to the court, Rashi says Mishabo'u Ladin, when they enter the court, from that point it's osur for the Dayanim to pursue compromise. V'chol ha-boitzea ha-reze choyte, and any judge that pursues compromise is considered a sinner. This, of course, is within the confines of the court. V'chol ha-mevorech es ha-boitzea, anyone who praises he who pursues compromise under these circumstances. Harei zeh menaitz, he's scornful. The alzeh ne'emar, and regarding this, the pasuk in Tehillim says, boitzea beirech ni'etz Hashem. Boitzea meaning compromise. Beirech, the one who praises the compromiser, is scorning Hashem. Elo yikoyf hadin esahar. Rather, let the letter of the law penetrate the mountain, which means you, when entering court, the letter of the law must be pursued. Shenemar ki hamishpat lelokim hu. The pasuk indicates that mishpat, that letter of the law, is divine. V'chein Moshe hoya omer yikoyv hadin esahar. Moshe Rabbeinu's approach to legal situations was also, when they approached him for a legal ruling, he would pursue the letter of the law. Aval Aaron had a special approach. I'm hesitating to say he had a different approach, because it's Aaron's approach deals with different circumstances. The Brisa says, "Aval Aaron oyhev shalom v'roydev shalom umesim shalom bein olam machaveru." He loved peace. He pursued peace, and he created peace between man and fellow man. We have indicated between the lines, based on what one can find in Rashi, that Aaron's nature was that when he heard two people outside of court, two people in their homes, in the street, arguing with one another, before they would come to din, he would pursue them to create peace between them. Aaron's practice, therefore, was preemptive. Before coming to din, he would intervene. It's not clear from the source. We don't have information here regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. All that we do have is that Moshe Rabbeinu practiced the ruling that we saw, that when they came to him for din, he would then pursue letter of the law and not compromise. The Brisa continues, bringing a posuk that describes Aaron HaKoyin's behavior. Shenemar, Toiras emes hoysa befihu, the truthful Torah was on his lips, the avlo lo nimtza besvasov, and distortion was not on his lips, b'shalom uvemesho holach iti, he walked with me in a straight form, v'rabim heishiv me'avon, and many he saved or brought back from sinning. Notice we have a little number 2 in a bow tie form. If we don't recall, we can always make reference to the key on the side. These numbers in the bow tie form are attempts to number off different explanations offered to the Pasuk Botzea Beireich Ni'etz Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, this is the second approach. Hare Shegozal Sa'al Shelchitim. We've dashed underlined the word Gozal, and we'll explain that a little bit later. Someone who stole a measure of wheat, V'tachanovi Ofa, he ground it and baked it, V'hefrish Mimeno Chala. And from the stolen wheat, he prepared dough, and from the dough, he separated the chalo tithe, which is one of the tithes that is given to a kohen. And generally speaking, when one is about to separate tithe, the chalo tithe, from his dough, he makes a brocha. So, in this context, we have someone who stole the wheat in order to eventually make this dough. Ketzad mevorech. How should he make his brocha? What should his brocha be? So the Brisa says, and here we're going to offer a literal translation because we're not going to delve into the details of brachas on stolen goods. Here the Brisa simply says, Ein zeh mevorech, he is not one worthy of offering a blessing, elamanites. He rather is scornful. The al zeh ne'emar, and regarding this, the Pasuk says, Uvotzea beireich ni'etz Hashem. And here we have to define the word botzea. Botzea means gezel. The thief who tries to make a bracha is scorning Hashem. Hence, a few lines up, we dashed underlined shegozal because the gozal was the key term in explaining this pasuk, namely that botzea, as opposed to the approach before, which took the word botzea to mean compromise, here we're taking the word botzea to mean theft. Number 3, a third approach to this pasuk. Rabbi Meir Omer, Lo Nemar Botzea Ela Keneged Yehuda. This pasuk is a reference to Yehuda in the story of the sale of Yosef by his brothers. Yehuda, after seeing that Reuven had put Yosef in a pit, said, why should we leave him there? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelim. What we're going to say is that Yehuda shouldn't have done that. He should have simply said, since he was someone that was going to be listened to, he should have said, let's send him back to father. So it says here, Shinemar, Vayomer Yehuda el Echov. Yehuda said to his brothers, Ma betza ki narog es ochinu. Notice how we've dashed underlined betza. What value is there? What profit is there in it for us if we were to kill our brother? V'chol ha-mevorech es Yehuda, anyone who praises Yehuda for his decision to sell Yosef to the merchants, harein zeh menayitz, that's scornful. The alzeh ne'amar, and regarding Yehuda's behavior, it says ne'amar u'botzea beireich ni'etz Hashem. So we've seen 3 different approaches to the pasuk of Botzea Beirech, whether it be compromise or the case of theft or the reference to Yehuda's behavior. We now see again a double underline with a diamond marking. This draws our attention to what we saw before. We saw above Rabbi Elazar ben Shabbosai Galili expressing his opinion regarding compromise, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korchomer, mitzvah livtzoa. He says that it's quite desirable. It's actually a mitzvah. It's incumbent upon judges to pursue compromise. And it would appear from the source that he's saying even after they appear in court, in other words, disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Osh, Rabbi Yosef Galili, even after they appear in court, if you can achieve compromise, pursue it. Shenemar, emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. As far as the relevance of this pasuk, the Brisa will explain itself. V'halo b'mokim sheyesh mishpat ein shalom. In a situation that you have mishpat, which would mean letter of the law, you don't have peace. The simple understanding to that may be that if you follow letter of the law, someone wins, someone loses. The person who loses is not at peace with the one who just defeated him. Uvemokam sheyesh shalom ein mishpat. In a situation where everyone is happy, where there's peace, so you're not. That's indicating they didn't follow the letter of the law. Elo eizehu mishpat sheyesh bo shalom. What kind of judgment could possibly result in peace? Avi omer ze bitsua. Let us therefore say this must be compromise. In other words, it's a form of mishpat, a form of justice that's officiated by judges, but it achieves shalom because compromise by its nature means everyone feels they got something. V'chein b'David hu omer, v'hi David oise mishpat utzdoko l'chol amoi. We've highlighted with a dot underline the expression mishpat utzdoko. We'll appreciate that later. But it says here that he did mishpat utzdoko for the entire nation. V'halo kol mokom sheyesh mishpat ein tzdoko. Utzdoko ein mishpat. In a situation that you have mishpat, letter of the law, so you don't have tzedaka, if we loosely translate that as benevolence. And if you have a situation of benevolence, you don't have mishpat. So how can you have both at the same time? Elo eizehu mishpat sheyesh bo tzedaka. What kind of mishpat has together with it tzedaka? Heve omer ze bitzua. That would be characteristic of compromise, where you have a level of law being pursued, and tzedaka, this benevolence in the fact that they achieve a compromise. The Gemara inserts two words that help very much in explaining the continuation of the Gemara, and it's as follows: Asom v'tanakamo, and notice the connector mark means keep reading, which instructs us to say that the following lines, we have a little number 2 at the beginning of Andonas Adin. This number 2 corresponds to the one we had before. If we glance at the key on the outside margin again, these are attempts to number off explanations to the Pasuk Mishpat Utzdoka. So we had one approach already, namely Mishpat Utzdoka, as understood by Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, was a reference to the pursuit of compromise. However, we have another approach to the Pasuk Mishpat Utzdoka, which works out according to the Tanakama, the earlier opinion, who said it's Osir Livtsoa. Namely, we saw Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holding that way. And number 2, therefore, what we're going to learn now is an explanation to the Pasuk of Mishpat Utzdoka that the earlier opinion would adopt. Don Esadin, Ziko Esazakai, V'chiev Esachayev, a judge who ruled and exonerated the innocent and found guilty the one who is truly guilty. And he saw that as a result of his ruling, a poor man ended up being obligated to make financial reparations. The shilem loy mitoich besoy, and the judge paid out of his pocket for the benefit of this poor man who was chayev to pay. Ze mishpat utzdoka. And notice we've highlighted the expression mishpat utzdoka again. Mishpat lozeh, utzdoka lozeh. And the Bryce explains. Mishpat lozeh, sheichzu lo mamon. It served as letter of the law for the one who had his money returned to him. Utzdoka lozeh, sheshilem loy mitoch beso. And tzdoka if we're using the Pasuk as our basis, we're interpreting the Pasuk of David HaMelech, so we can say that David paid for the ani. That's the tzedakah. David performed tzedakah by paying for the debt that the oni was chayev to pay. So as we look over the Gemara most recently, we see two approaches to darshaning the pasuk of Mishpat Utzdakah. The first approach was that of Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, who said that it refers to compromise. And the Tanakama, who said that refers to the practice of David HaMelech, of when finding someone guilty and he happened to be poor, true, payment must be made, that's the Mishpat, but he, David, would make the payment and not the ani, that being the tzedakah. We skip the parentheses section. Kashya le l'Rebbe. Before we go on, I would like to draw your attention, though, to a little aleph that we had a few lines up in parentheses. When you see an aleph, there's got to be a beis, and we'll point out why momentarily. Kashya le l'Rebbe. Rebbe had difficulty. Hai l'chol amoi. The pasuk that we were interpreting, and you can use an arrow here to navigate this arrow and find the corresponding arrow above. It appears actually be in between two lines. That's because we had written in at the end of the pasuk that said Vayidavid Oisa Mishparut Tzedaka, it said L'chol Amoi, and then we offered an explanation of that, and that was David paid for the poor man. David paid out of his pocket for the poor man. So if that be the case, why does the pasuk say that his practice, David HaMelech's practice, was l'chol amo, for his entire nation? He asks, the Gemara here, Rebbe asks, hi l'chol amoi le'aniyim miboy alei. It should have said that it was mishpat utstaka lo'aniyim, that he did staka for the poor. Ella. Notice we now have a base. We're going to now have a second approach to what David HaMelech actually did or did not do, as follows: Afal pi shelo shilem mitoch beso, zehu mishpat utzdaka. David HaMelech, when he would rule in a case, even though he would not pay out of his pocket to benefit the one who was chayav to pay, nevertheless, it's called mishpat and tzdaka. Mishpat lozeh utzdaka lozeh. And how is that? Mishpat lozeh shehichzir lo mamono. The law was carried out by seeing to it that the person who had money coming to him had it restored to him. Utzdaka lozeh, and an act of benevolence to the one who had to pay, shehotzi gzeila mitachas yado, that he finally relinquished that which otherwise would have been theft in his hands. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer. Now, we encounter a new geometric form. In order to appreciate its role, let us glance at the key that we have at the upper part of the page on the outside margin. We have the triangle followed by an aleph, beis, and gimel. These are featuring Shnayim Shebo Ledin, and there are different stages. Ad Shelo Tishma, before the judges hear the case. Misha Tishma, when they hear the case. And a third stage, which we'll see later also, which opens up Misha Tishma. So if you glance in down the Gemara, you'll notice how there are several of these inverted triangles. Shnayim, Rabbi Shimon ben Asi Omer, Shnayim Shebo Lifnei Lifonecha Lidin. Ad shelo tishma divrehem, oy misha tishma divrehem, v'i ato yodea lehechon din noite. Whether it be before you heard their case, or you heard their claims, but were not sure into which direction the case is going to go, in whose favor the case is going to go. So if you're at that stage, ato rashoi loimar lohen tsu ubitzru, you're entitled to tell them, go out and compromise. Why not strike, work it out between yourselves? Misha tishma divrehem ve'ato yodea lehechon hadin noite. However, once you've heard their case, their claims, and you know which direction to take, I ato rashoi loimar lohen su ubitzu, you are no longer allowed to suggest or to recommend them pursuing compromise. Shene Emar, and we will bring a pasuk to illustrate that, but before we go further, let's just draw our attention to this particular numbering system. And if you notice the asterisk at the outside margin, Mispare Romi, the Roman numerals, three pshatim, and this will last till Zayin Amud Aleph, ala pasuk poiter mayim. We're going to have a pasuk now, and this pasuk will be explained by three ways, and this will continue to the next omid. as far as we're concerned, the issue right now is once you know which direction the case is going to take, we were just told by Rav Shimon ben Asya that you are no longer allowed to pursue compromise. Shenema poiter mayim reishis modoin ulefnei hisgala hariv netoish. The word hisgala, the Metzudat Tzion, one of the commentaries who focuses on word explanations in the Tanakh, on Sefer Mishlei, he says that the word hisgala with an ayin at the end is just like the word spelled with a hey at the end. In other words, lashon givui, or becoming revealed. So it says here in this pasuk that, and the Bryce explains, koidem shenizgala hariv, before the argument between the parties becomes revealed or evident, clear, ato yochol lenacho, you can abandon it, meaning you can abandon the case and the pursuit of letter of the law, and rather pursue peace. However, mishen is gala horiv, at the point that it becomes obvious and clear, I ato yochol lenacho, then you cannot abandon it, but rather must pursue letter of the law and not compromise. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lokish Omar, Shnaim Shebo Ledin. Echod Rach, the Echod Koshe. Ad Shelo Tishma Divrayim, O Misha Tishma Divrayim. Notice we have a very similar structure as we had in the previous triangle, and that's what we attempted to show in our key that we featured in the upper part of the page. In this case, it's two people come. One is a tough character, that's a koshe. One is rach, a soft personality. So he says that before you hear their case, or mishetishma devrei aviato yodel echon dinota, or even once you heard their claims, but it wasn't clear which way the law is going to go, ato rashoi loimar lohen, you have the right to say to them, Ein ani nizkak lochem, I am not going to deal with you. Shemon ischayev chazak v'nimso chazak rodfo. The fear being that if he does pursue and attempt to establish clarity in the case, it might turn out that the tough guy will be chayev to pay, will be obligated to offer restoration, and as a result of his being found guilty, he will be in pursuit of the justice of the judge. And the Rashi points out that he'll be in pursuit of the judge to reverse the case, and maybe the judge doesn't want to have that headache. So if it's not clear to the judge which way the case is going to go, and he sees it standing in front of him, a very tough guy, he has a right to say, I don't want to deal with this. However, if once you heard their claims and you saw who is in the right and who is in the wrong, then I ato yochol lomar lohen, then you have no right to tell them, eini nizkak lochem. Shinema lo soguru mipnei ish. He cannot any longer say, I'm not going to deal with the case, as the Pasuk says, that one shall not lo soguru. In this case, we'll translate lo soguru, thou shalt not have fear in front of people. But this Pasuk applies, according to this interpretation at least, only once the path of the law is clear to you. We have another numbering system here. We have a 1 and 2 that you see in diamonds. These are explained as well on the outside margin, Misparim Elu. The diamonds are 2 Droshos Al Lo Soguru Mitnei Ish. 2 different explanations on this Pasuk. So the first one we saw, Lo Soguru Mitnei Ish, was addressing a Dayon and in his confrontation with 2 litigants, one of them a tough guy. A second approach, Rabbi Shul ben Korcha Omer, Minayin leTalmud sheYoshiv lifnei Rabbi, v'ro'oz chus la'ani v'choyv la'ashir, Minayin shelo yishtot. From where you know that a Talmud, a student, sitting in front of his Rav, and a case was brought to the Rav, not to the student, but brought to the Rav, to the teacher, to rule upon. And the student who was sitting there saw that there's some beneficial information, something to benefit the poor man, and something condemnatory toward the rich man. From where do we know that he should not remain silent? The Rashi points out on this. Let us look at it together. About halfway down, Sheyoshev lifnei Raboi, ubodim lifnei Rabo v'lo lifonav. And a case came to the teacher and not in front of the student. V'roa talmid chusloni v'chovlo ashir v'rabu toya bedin. This is an addition Rashi makes, which is very important for understanding the Gemara. And this student sees information that may benefit the poor man and condemn the rich man, and the teacher is making a mistake. Minayin shelo yachloik kovoid l'rabo v'yishtok. From where do we know that the student should not, as a sign of honor to his teacher, remain silent? Talmud omer v'chulei. Now let's go back into the Gemara. With that background, we'll appreciate this a little more. So from where do we know that this Talmud should not sit and remain silent? Shenemar lo so guru mipnei ish. Lo tachnis devorecho mipnei ish. Tachnis would be gather in or withhold. Don't withhold your words because of your sitting in the presence of your teacher. We have another geometric form, this time employed around words. We had seen something similar around numbers, but this is clearly different. In fact, you'll notice that the top part of the house marking is shaded in to highlight this distinction. The Gemara will point out two points, one regarding witnesses and one regarding judges, that it says that the witnesses and judges should be aware of in whose presence they are operating, namely in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'yu Eidim Yoidim. Next line you'll see V'yu Hadayonim Yoidim. But here we say V'yu Eidim Yoidim Esmi Hein Me'idim Ulifnei Mi Hein Me'idim Umi Osid Lipara Mehen. They all refer to really the same one, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Esmi Hein Me'idim. Who are they? Who are they testifying about? This is a concept, a bit of a lofty idea here, but when they're bearing testimony, their testimony is going to have bearing on to Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak. Rashi explains that when they say testimony and cause someone to have to pay money, if they're saying something wrong, in other words, they're going to cause someone wrongful loss, they're ki'ilu matriach the Kodesh Baruch Hu to offer reparations to the wronged party. So their testimony is one that has bearing on the Kodesh Baruch Hu kiviyochol as well. So who are they testifying about, and in front of whom are they testifying? Of course, in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And who will punish them? Mi osid lipar man, who will seek retribution from them in the event that they are lying? Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'omdu shnei huanoshim asher lohem horiv lifnei Hashem. Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, that when it says here V'omdu shnei huanoshim, this is a reference to the witnesses, because if it were reference to the parties that are arguing don't necessarily have to be two people. It could be many people that are arguing. When it comes to witnesses, we know witnesses have to be two. So it says in this pasuk that the two men, which we now know are the two witnesses, are standing lifnei Hashem. V'yu hadayonim yoidim, judges should also be aware. Esmi hein donim ulifnei me hein donim. Who are they judging, and in front of whom are they judging? Umi otsu lipar man, and who will seek retribution from them if they judge unlawfully? Shenemar elokim nitzav badas el. That Elohim is referenced to Kodesh Baruch Hu, is standing amongst the group of judges. V'chein b'yoshofet hu omer, v'yomer el ha-shoftim, re'u ma atem oisim. He said to the judges, look, see what you're doing. Ki lo la adam tishpatu ki l'Hashem. You're not judging man. It's as if you're judging Hashem. In other words, judgment that is practiced by judges is done in the presence of Hashem. Shema yomar hadayon ma li b'tzar hazeh. The person might say, a judge might say, what do I need this headache for? If I make a mistake, I'm going to get punished. Talmud lomar, the continuation of the pasuk says, v'imochem b'davar mishpat. I am with you. Ein lo l'dayin elamasha ein avros. A judge doesn't have to be afraid of a mistake if he is attempting to judge and has kavona. This is a point that Rashi adds. If he has kavona to judge honestly, he has nothing to worry about. Even if a mistake happens to result, that is not something that has to preoccupy the judge, as long as he's trying his best. As we go on in the Gemara, we may take note of an asterisk that you see written in to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. That indicates a need to find the corresponding asterisk. That necessitates skimming up the page, in this case all the way to the very top, to appreciate what the Gemara is going to ask now. Hechi domi gemar din. It was stated earlier that once they reach gemar din, so then they are no longer allowed to compromise. Omer of Yehuda Amarav, what is gemar din? He says, ish ploniato, chayav ish ploniato zake. When the judges say, you so-and-so are guilty and you so-and-so are innocent, that constitutes the gemar din. Omer Rav, halocha k'Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. What does that mean? So with our markings, it should be relatively easy to find the name. He is the one that said, mitzvah levtzoah. That seems to be Rav's ruling. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? Is that what the way Rav would rule? The whole Rav Huna, Talmide de Rav Have. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. Ki Have Osu le Kamei de Rav Huna, when a case would come in front of Rav Huna, Amar Lahu, he would say, E Dina Bo'isu, E Pshara Bo'isu. He would ask him, do you want me to judge you by letter of the law, or do you want me to officiate a compromise? And so it doesn't sound like Rav Huna, who reflects, would assume reflects Rav's opinion, holds that it's a mitzvah to pursue compromise. He's offering to pursue a letter of the law as well. So the Gemara answers, "My mitzvah nami dekoma Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha." What was meant by Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha when he said it's a mitzvah l'tzoa? What he really meant was mitzvah l'meimra lahu. It's a mitzvah, it's incumbent upon judges to say to the litigants, I dina bo'isu, I pshara bo'isu, do you want us to pursue letter of the law, or do you want us to seek compromise? The Gemara asks, well, hainu tanakama. Let's look at Rashi at the top. Hainu tanakama, ti omar. The tanakama also said, nigmar hadin, I atorah shoy levtsoa. That once you achieve gemar din, you're no longer allowed to seek compromise. Ha mekodem gemar din, rashoy levtzoa. However, before gemar din, you're allowed to pursue compromise. Vachinami rishushu, this opinion is saying the same thing. What's the difference then between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha? They're both saying that you have rishus, you have permission to pursue compromise. The Gemara answers, Iko binayu mitzvah. The difference between them will be this issue of the mitzvah. Rashi says, Iko binayu mitzvah lahazkir pshara. That it's a mitzvah to mention the pshara option. Rashi says, L'tanakama leko mitzvah. And the Gemara explains as well. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha sovar mitzvah, that according to him, there's a mitzvah to recommend or offer the compromise option. Tanakama sovar rishus. Tanakama says it's not obligatory, it's an option. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha would say it's obligatory to offer the compromise option. According to Tanakama, it's not obligatory, but rather it's an option they have. If they want to, they can offer the compromise solution. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.